Today on Pop Center, why television sucks.
And why it's getting better sometimes.
And John's mom.
And my mom.
Yeah.
And Netflix Movie Club.
Yeah, it's also sucked.
The one time.
All right, that's today on Pop Center.
This is Pop Center.
Tommy West.
Maxwell. Hi.
I'm Caitlin.
Yes, and the...
I still think you should be introducing us. I feel very uncomfortable saying my name.
No, because that's what I would do for a guest.
I love my name.
Yeah.
You can love your name. I'm just saying that he should say it.
Why?
Because he's leading it. He leads in.
No. Well, when Caitlin wasn't here, it made more sense for me to introduce people, which I didn't, but it made more sense for me to do it.
Yeah.
But now I'm back.
Now she's back, so I don't... All right, I'll do it for guests.
I'm passing. Okay. I'm over.
We had actually arguments in the studio over the opening song, but I will admit... I'm gonna lay my gun down. It's a good pick.
Yeah?
Sagala. Easy Love.
Easy Love.
It's a good song.
It is good. It's catchy. It's summery.
It is. Well, yeah, you guys, did it have something to do with Michael Jackson? Does it sound like Michael Jackson?
No, I'm pretty sure they sampled heavily on Michael Jackson.
Oh, they did? Okay.
I'm fairly certain that is actually Michael Jackson.
No. See, I was just pretending I didn't know. Like, you know, for the people at home.
I missed that.
Oh, yeah. Right.
We can do it again if you want.
No, that's right.
Okay.
I mean, I do like the song, though. It's pretty cool.
It's catchy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's going on this week? I don't know. What's going on?
You don't know what's going on?
Well, we can start with that. Apparently, I don't know anything.
You don't.
So, there are lots of people who tell us, who write in reviews or give us feedback or be like, hey, you guys should talk about this week. We had someone give some feedback on this very program.
Someone very close to me.
Yeah. So who would that be?
It'd be my mom.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. That's pretty close.
She's real close. You know, right. we talk from time to time.
Did she have any critiques?
I don't even think that my mom knows what a podcast is.
My mom's way ahead of the time. She's very technologically advanced.
Mm-mm.
She subscribes to the podcast.
Wow.
Every time we record one of these masterpieces, mm-hmm. it pops up on her iPhone or iPad. And she remarked to me that Tommy doesn't really know a lot of stuff.
I know things.
Gets names wrong, gets movie titles wrong.
What did she say about me?
She's indifferent about you. Wow. She liked you. She likes you.
Wow.
She likes you more than Tommy.
Well,
take it.
No, I get it.
Three guesses who she likes the most. So mom, shout out. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being one of our 10 listeners.
All right. Well, all right. I will say, yes, I definitely get names wrong sometimes.
I love it when you do. I think it's hilarious.
It's part of the shtick of the show, I think. You know, I'm just trying to live up to the expectations.
You are like my dad. I think my dad purposely gets like one word off on movie titles.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, my dad does that.
Like he'll go like, hey, let's go see Me, Myself, and Eileen. I'm like, no, no. Like Jim Daniels is in it. God damn it, Dad. No.
Jim Daniels.
Your family sounds hilarious.
We have a fun time.
I am definitely the, I'm the one who connects with the audience. I'm the one who, I'm the person at home who's like, I don't really know what they're, I'm not like 100% on board with everything they're saying, but I kind of get it.
Got it.
You know.
You're that guy. I buy it. Like it.
Mm-hmm. You know, because if it was just you two, it'd sound too pretentious.
Wow.
I unpretentious the podcast.
You do. You make it more down to earth.
Yeah, I bring it down.
More relatable.
Yes, thank mm-hmm. you.
And I'm just alienating.
Yes.
It's great.
Wait, can we start off this podcast by saying that Jeff Goldblum
he gave birth?
Yes.
That's like the one person I would buy actually give it. Like, if that was a headline, I'd be like, he would give birth.
Yeah.
No, but his wife gave birth to a baby.
Yep.
On Independence Day.
That's ironic.
Love it.
Because he was in the movie Independence Day.
But I don't think he's going to be in the new one.
He is. He's the one who actually opened a Facebook account to specifically post two pictures, one cast photo from the new Independence Day,
right,
and two to post the picture of his new daughter.
So how the tables have turned. So Tommy knew something.
Yeah, I knew something.
You didn't.
Ha, show prep.
He's the Dan Aykroyd of Independence Day remakes.
Why is Dan Aykroyd in the...
I was actively seeking out remakes. Oh. He just really wants to make one. So I guess Jeff...
It's not a remake. It's a sequel. That's a difference.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of similar things in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I speaking of sequels and remakes and things that Paul Feig is involved in, last week when Caitlin wasn't here, we discussed the Ghostbusters thing because they had released some photos from the set.
And they're still doing it.
And between that episode and today, they've released now photos of what the new Ectomobile. I'm doing it. Damn it. Here we go. Starting off on the wrong.
No, I'm not gonna correct you.
Well, I almost said Ectomobile, but it was Ecto One, which is the name of the car.
Yes.
A photo of that, which is like a 1980s.
It looks like a friend of ours coined it right. It's the National Lampoon's Vacation vehicle. It's the Chevy Chase car.
That describes it perfectly.
It's so good.
Yeah, which is now. But someone had, before the photo was released, someone was speculating, saying, what's it going to look like? And they were saying, well, back in the 80s, it was a car that was X many years old, and maybe they'll do that same kind of difference in time. Like, what if it was a 30-year-old car in the original Ghostbusters? Maybe now it'll be a 30-year-old car in 2015.
And they kind of did that.
Which they kind of almost got. Yeah, basically about.
Look, this is a movie that I'm going to see.
Yeah.
I'm not that passionate about it. Like, I'm not clamoring, waiting to see it.
Yeah.
If it comes out, I'd be like, okay. You guys want to go see that? Not Tommy. Tommy's not invited.
Tommy, I'll be out there picketing.
You know, Tommy will be going to the screener.
Hell no, Feig, we won't go or something. I don't know. I haven't really worked. I still have some time to work on that.
I like it though.
Yeah.
I like your passion.
Yeah.
So passionate.
I'm going to work in like a reference to the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. There's some stuff coming.
I think I'm just going to start to quiz you throughout the podcast. Like, I'm going to throw random facts at you and see if you know it.
Don't do that.
I just want to see.
Yeah.
No.
It'll be like blatantly edited in later.
Things that you know.
Yeah.
It'll sound different.
Yeah.
He'll be yelling the answer.
Yeah. Other than Jeff Goldblum having children in Ghostbusters, Minions is out this weekend.
Minions is out.
And did you hear that in, I think it's McDonald's Happy Meals.
Oh, no.
The little Minions that come with, like, the toy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is the toy in the Happy Meal. It sounds as if, hold on, I'm
She has to read the copy of the McDonald's advertisement we're inserting in this podcast.
Are you saying that first of all, let me say, McDonald's is great.
Yeah, it is.
Good deal and good food.
Yeah.
Wendy's is the best.
Wow. Well, you have to dig at the one time we're trying to promote something. You just digged at it. So you're saying you get a Minion toy in the Happy Meal?
It says that the new McDonald's Happy Meal toy has a dirty mouth. Says that parents are outraged about the new Minions themed Happy Meal toys at McDonald's. And it says that they appear to say "what the F" repeatedly. Like, I guess in their Minions voice.
That's
it just
awesome.
Sounds like that's what they're saying.
How do we get one of these toys?
I'm going to go to McDonald's right after this.
I remember the best thing. Oh, they're cute.
Is there an audio video thingy jiggy?
Oh, put it to the mic. Let's hear
it. Hold on, I will.
Do it. Oh yeah,
I kind of
heard it. Yeah,
I don't think they're actually.
That is such a bad video, though.
Also, that really sounds nothing. I mean, I have very little of what the Minions actually sound like, but I have seen that movie, Despicable Me, and they don't sound like that.
No.
It's like gibberish words.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that did remind me, I used to love collecting those toys when they were released. Like, it used to be a much bigger deal what the toys were. Like, there was a burger. There was a Burger King promotion where they sold 150 of all the different Pokemons in Pokeballs. I still have them.
Wow.
They're amazing. They're all different. I don't understand how my parents took me to Burger King that many times.
I had a friend growing up that he had an entire master bedroom in his house filled like a museum of McDonald's toys. Every week, whatever would come out, parents would get him.
Did he unwrap them or he had them wrapped?
They were wrapped.
They're probably worth some money right now.
I don't know if he still has them. I think he ended up going through a phase where he just did sell them, but it was like you know, maybe over 7 years ago.
Like, I played the shit out of those Pokemon toys. They're ruined. Like, I can't sell them.
Yeah.
But if they're still in the bag,
yeah,
got some money.
Yeah, I was always, when it came to the characters of McDonald's versus, like, Burger King, the Burger King characters were kind of cooler, but they, you know, but no one really cared.
I can't recall the past Burger King characters.
What?
Besides,
they had that
creepy
kid
captain
with the thing over his eyes, almost like
I don't remember those.
He was kind of like Cyclops from X-Men, but, you know, a kid. And then there was a kid in the wheelchair.
I'm going to look it up. I don't remember the McDonald's ones.
Friendly kid.
And I don't think Wendy's ever had any.
No, I don't think.
No kids went to Wendy's. That was for
Wendy.
The adults.
Yeah.
It was just Wendy. So lonely.
And what was his name? Dave.
Oh, Dave Thomas.
Yeah.
That was Wendy's dad.
Oh, you know what? All right, I take it back. I remember these characters.
Okay, what are the characters' names?
I don't. IQ, Kid Vid.
Kid Vid.
There's a dog named JD. I don't know why he's named JD. They inappropriately named the guy in the wheelchair Wheels. Lingo.
Lingo?
Yeah, I think it says Lingo. So yeah, I do remember these characters. I take it back. I must have blocked it from my memory because it was so stereotypical.
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember those characters as being cooler than, like, you know, Grimace or like these other like acid trip esque characters from McDonald's.
Those characters remind me of the kids in Recess.
They are. Yeah. They're very similar. They actually are really
similar.
They're
very similar.
Yeah.
Did someone just take their outfit, like change their outfits?
But I don't get it. Like, are the toys popular these days? I guess because I'm not a kid anymore. I'm not actively seeking out the toys. Yeah. But I always look in the little like display window, and they look so sad. Like, they don't look like they're even trying anymore.
No, I don't think they are. Especially, you know.
Well, because now, I don't think this has anything to do with it. Because wasn't there this whole thing of like revamping Happy Meals and kids meals and.
Trying to make them healthier or something.
Yeah, but
that doesn't apply
to
the toy.
Have anything to do with the toy.
But I also feel like there was some change too. Because growing up, we saw commercials for what was at McDonald's or Burger King.
Yeah.
While watching Saturday morning cartoons. Kids don't do that anymore.
There's really no Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh, no, it's gone. This was like a past episode of Pop Center we did already.
Oh.
There are no more Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah, we did that. We did it.
We did it already.
I was a part of it.
You want to talk about it again?
No, that's fine.
But no, yeah, Saturday morning cartoons are gone. All kids watch are Nickelodeon and Disney. And even when they watch that, I don't think McDonald's and them advertise.
I'm glad that you didn't mention Cartoon Network.
Well, it's it's there. I don't know. Do kids actively watch that? The Disney's? The Cartoon Networks?
I don't know. I don't have kids.
I watch Boomerang. Those are all the old school cartoons.
I don't
watch
know
myself
I
some.
I don't even know that.
Watch myself some, what I watch?
Some of the stuff.
Some of the stuff on there.
Yeah, this weekend's kind of weak, actually, stuff that's coming out. The new Tarsem movie, Selfless, is coming out with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I haven't seen much promotion for it. And
because it's like destined to tank.
Yeah.
And they already know it's not
who
tracking
else is
well.
In it?
Ben Kingsley, who's in everything now. And I forgot who the girl is, but it's Ryan Reynolds and Ben Kingsley. Essentially, Ben Kingsley's dying, and there's this program that can put his soul into a younger body, and he does it. And of course, there are complications, and hence movie.
Why can't it just go just smoothly? Like, I want to see a movie where everything goes smoothly.
I mean, I like Tarsem. I like The Cell is awesome. That's like the one good thing I love that Jennifer Lopez did besides Out of Sight. I mean, it's a good movie. He's good visually, but this one doesn't seem to have any visuals at all.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who did The Fall. He did Immortals with Henry Cavill before. I think he was before he was Superman.
Yeah.
But there's no visual appeal to this one. It seems like a very straightforward sci-fi thriller.
Yeah.
And a boring one at that.
And so I'm saying it hasn't gotten much promotion.
No.
There's not a lot coming out this weekend. I mean, well, I'm sorry. Not a lot in theaters this weekend. Inside Out has been out for a couple weeks now. So where Minions is coming in, I think it'll kind of take a big chunk out of whatever.
And Inside Out's done phenomenally well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm amazed how much money it made. I actually didn't realize it until I saw the full total. It's awesome. It's great. It's good for them.
Definitely
on
par
with
them.
Because for a while, that was the only animated feature out.
Right.
Yeah. And then, yeah. Well, speaking of Disney, by the way, they're closing Disney Animation Studios in Walt Disney World. Anybody go to that? Anybody?
I've never been to Disney World.
You've never been to Disney World?
Mm-mm.
I think you'd take a Pop Center road trip.
Was that, it was an attraction or that's a company?
It was an attraction. Like, it was a part of, like, you can go to Disney Animation Studio.
How long has that been a thing? I've been to Disney exactly. like three times. I don't recall
what do
ever
you do?
Seeing that.
I don't know. You go there and like learn how to draw or something. I don't know.
I already don't know how to draw. I know I can't draw.
Why not?
I can't. I failed GT art like in the fourth grade. And ever since then, I've been stunted in my
Wait,
art.
What's GT yeah. art?
Gifted art. It was like the gifted art program.
Oh, God.
How did you get into it? If you,
I tried out for it. They didn't let me in.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember one time, like, I forgot one of the tests. They gave you like 20 circles and you had to make as many things out of a circle as you could, like a clock, an
That's
apple.
Stressful.
Yeah, it was a test. And I failed. Bad tests.
It was like one of those tests they send you at home.
Let's bring up a sore subject, guys.
Well, there was tests they send you at home where you like have to draw stuff. You never saw that, like commercials for that?
No.
There were like commercials for this thing, like sign up for our, you know, like art test and you can see if you're good at art and you can get into our school or something.
Maybe this is why Disney Animation Studios closed.
Yeah. Too many infomercials.
If there was a Pixar Animation test. Studios, I think I would go to that. That sounds like fun.
Well, they're also revamping the park because I think we brought up before is they're doing a whole Tomorrowland thing.
Which
there.
Is probably ill-advised now. They mm-hmm. probably should stop the ball on that and switch to like... A different yeah. Harry Potter world or something.
It'd be like them opening an entire section of the park now for like Flubber. You know, it's like
that'd be great. I would love that.
It's like it's not exactly what people are really into, but and then Inside Out. I think they're doing something with that at the park because I heard
that makes more sense.
Yeah, but there was that Michael. I think we talked about this. There was that Michael Jackson attraction at the park,
strictly for kids.
Well, yes, anything with Michael Jackson is strictly for kids. Mm. They had a Michael Jackson like 3D show there where like the whole room moved. One of those.
What?
Yeah. Does anyone ever go to these theme parks in this room?
I'm out of touch. I got to go back.
No.
I said we do the road trip. I said we go.
All right. We'll work on that in the meantime. But back to the movies. Yes. I think it's going to probably end up taking a huge chunk out of whatever kid market there is left.
Yeah. I mean, there was something. Last night I saw Me and Earl and the Dying Girl because there was nothing to see. And yeah. I liked it a lot.
Not a kid's movie.
Not a kid's movie. But that was, I was pleasantly surprised. Great soundtrack. Good acting.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot.
What else do we have left in the summer? Because now we're past July. We're in July, but we're past July 4th, which is like the... You know, I mean, I know Guardians opened in like what, August last year. So there's still some time left in the blockbuster season.
Now we're getting into the thick of it. Like now is when most of this stuff's coming out.
I mean,
there's getting good reviews for Trainwreck, the Amy Schumer comedy from Judd Apatow. It's coming out next weekend, the 17th. Ant-Man's coming out, the Paul Rudd, also on the 17th.
Mm-hmm. Right. But now wait, before you go any further. So number one, Trainwreck. It's a comedy. It's a Judd Apatow comedy, technically.
Yeah, I mean,
Amy Schumer's hot.
It'll be 20 minutes too long, like all of his movies, but I've been hearing good things. People have liked them all.
Yeah.
The ones that, you know, the reviews have been coming out slowly, but they've been pretty positive.
Yeah. And Amy Schumer has been everywhere.
That's what I mean. By the way, when I said Amy Schumer's hot, you guys know right now.
I know you meant.
I wasn't praising her looks. I was praising,
That's
I was
what
like
I
saying
thought
that, like,
that you meant.
I know. I'm not that guy.
I also like that she finished like fourth place in Last Comic Standing like 10 years ago.
Did she really?
On that crappy NBC show. She finished fourth in that. Yeah. She's tearing it up.
I know.
Who was third?
I don't know.
And second.
Who cares?
First.
Judd Apatow.
Judd Apatow, right.
It's first. Can I tell you what I just did, by the way? I'm definitely having old people moments. Now I think I'm doing it because of your mom.
Because, the pressure's on.
Yeah, because I just had the moment of like, oh, I saw The Cobbler. And I'm like, oh, no, that's later on for the Netflix movie club.
Much later on.
I forgot. And then I was like.
We can talk about it now if you want.
No, we wait for the later when it belongs.
Thanks, mom.
Like, sit down.
Sneak peek.
But all right, we were in the middle of talking about something. So Ant-Man.
You are losing it.
I am losing it.
All right.
She put me on now because she called me out. Now I'm thinking about it all the time.
Stop thinking about it.
All right. Ant-Man's also coming out, but reviews?
I'm getting more excited for it. I'm looking forward to it.
I think this is going to be Green Lantern all over again.
You think so?
Yeah. I don't think it'll be as bad.
That's harsh. That's harsh.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't know if the movie's going to be that bad itself. I think the viewership and the money of ticket sales is going to be about Green Lantern. That's what I'm saying.
Let me see. I'm going to pull up what Green Lantern made.
I'm not saying Green Hornet. Let's slow down.
No. I'm going to pull up what Green Lantern made opening weekend because I'm pretty sure it's going to beat that. I'll.
All right. Are you going to put an official Maxwell guesstimate?
I'm going to put a Maxwell guesstimate on it.
Okay. Here we go.
It opened to $53
million. Okay.
Green Lantern. I think Ant-Man's going to open to $75.
You think it's going to be that big?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think people are hungry for something that's not Avengers and Marvel. I think it's going to be not Guardians of the Galaxy money.
Yeah.
I think it's going to come in a little underneath. 70, what did I say, 75? Or 73? 73. 73. Wow. Maxwell guesstimate.
Okay. I
guess 74.
God damn, this is not Price is Right. It doesn't work that way.
Closest without going over, so technically.
Yeah, I guess 72.
Yeah. What's without going over?
You don't want 72. You gave yourself a million dollar window.
No, yeah. Wait. How does...
Closest what? Without going over.
You were right with 74. You want the 74. Or you can go with a dollar if it's closest without going over.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you want a dollar? You're going to do a dollar? $1. Great. She's doing a dollar.
I'm doing a dollar or one.
Considering a New York ticket?
Yeah. You can't, you screwed him with the dollar move, and then I screwed you with the dollar one move.
It doesn't matter because I'm going to be right.
You're not going to be
1 cent.
You think it's going to make more than, what did you say, 74?
73.
73. You think it's more than 73?
I think it's going to make 73, not more.
Okay. I don't know about that. Here's the thing. I love Paul Rudd, but when was the last time he opened a movie? And I'm sorry, that's in inside terms. When was the last time he actually made money on opening weekend for anything he's done?
I want to say Role Models.
No, go ahead. Pull it up. Go ahead. Pull up the Maxwell official box office tracker. We're branding everything that you do on the show now.
As wrong. All right, I'm looking up Paul Rudd.
Get it. We need like a
He did This Is 40, the Judd Apatow. That opened to...
Yeah, but how long ago was that?
Actually, that was horrible. It didn't open to anything good.
Exactly.
2012.
That was like three years
2012.
Ago.
And what was the rom-com he did a couple years
ago? All right, you're right. I'll give you credit. He has not opened a movie good.
Yeah.
A good movie in a long time.
And what was the last one he tried to open?
They Came Together.
I don't know. That might be an indie.
It was an indie.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about, give me like an actual like.
This is Admission with.
Admission.
With Tina Fey.
And how did that do?
$6 million.
Okay.
This is Marvel. This is, it's got a Marvel tag on it.
I understand that, but you know, it's, what is it?
$73 million, Tommy.
Here's the thing. And this is my argument. Last year, you had Guardians with Chris Pratt. People love Chris Pratt.
People love Paul Rudd.
I know people love Paul Rudd, but not as much as they love Chris Pratt. Thank you. Yep.
Guardians of the Galaxy opened at $94 million. I think they're going to love Ant-Man. No. They're going to love Paul Rudd $20 million less.
No, because the thing is, at least Guardians had some
also fun
bite
fact.
To it.
Rise of the Guardians opened at $23 million.
Okay.
I don't think it's possible for this podcast to go a whole episode without mentioning Chris Pratt.
Oh, we did. It's a thing. We need like a buzzer for it. Like a.
And now the annual Chris Pratt mention.
A Prattism.
Prattism. No, I like Paul Rudd. Don't get me wrong. I really do. But he's, number one, he doesn't have the star power that Chris Pratt has. Number two, at least Guardians, you know, they're in outer space. He's like just flying spaceships. It's a lot more grounded, believe it or not, than a man called Ant-Man who shrunk down like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
To the ground?
Crime. It's not a...
If you could say it's literally more grounded than freaking Guardians of the Galaxy, Tommy.
Right. My point is...
$73 million.
Do you think kids are excited about being like Chris Pratt and flying through space and fighting bad guys?
No. Half the people going to this movie are not going to know what Ant-Man is.
Right.
Mm. No idea.
But you could say the same thing about Guardians.
Yeah. Which is why they're going to go.
Okay.
True.
73.
Okay, fine.
Whatever. 1 cent.
You can't go to 1 cent.
You just said a dollar.
You did a dollar and I did a dollar one.
If one person goes, you're screwed.
Wait, speaking of Paul Rudd, so this is my stream of consciousness right now. So that got me thinking about Clueless.
Yep. Great
and
movie.
And then got me thinking about how they are making Clueless into a Broadway musical.
Are they really?
They are also making The OC into a one-night only Broadway show. They made Heathers into a Broadway show last season, I think. And what else is coming out? I forget off the top of my head, but there are so many. I guess this just goes with our discussion about remakes.
Yeah.
And not original things coming out. And that kind of annoys me.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The Broadway market, and I apologize for generalizing. It's primarily targeted to women. Women love them some musicals.
Yes.
What are you laughing at?
John's like, I love musicals too.
I
do.
Okay. I enjoy the theater every now and then.
Fine. You're allowed to enjoy the theater.
Yeah.
But it's you make Heathers into a musical, it's a layup. You know, you take Now for our generation, you take Clueless and you make it a musical. That's a layup. Mm-hmm. You're going to sell tickets. No one's not going to go, like, no one's going to see that and not want to go. If
how did High School Musical not get made into a musical?
Give it like 10 years, it'll get made.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I'm thinking that maybe one day we will see a High School Musical musical. I think that might happen at some point.
High School Musical as a musical?
Yeah.
It's a Broadway show.
Bring it back. They can bring back Clueless. They can bring back High School Musical. Yeah. I just want to see it.
Apparently, Ashley Tisdale is 30 years old.
What?
Where'd that come from? How'd you know that?
Because it was like a headline or something. It's a weird headline.
Breaking news. Ashley Tisdale
continues to age.
Yes.
But I just didn't think that she...
How is Ashley Tisdale my age?
Who is this?
This isn't true.
Who's Ashley
She's
Tisdale?
Not my age.
She was in High School Musical.
Oh.
Which means that when she made it, she was 27? Like, how many years ago was High School
she
Musical?
She was born in 1985.
Great year.
Oh, she's actually... Wait, then. Yeah, that's right. She really is. She's my age.
Mm-hmm. And look how much she's accomplished.
Wait a second. Wait, what year was High School Musical?
I'm looking. Hold on.
How old was she?
Are you mad that you missed the boat on your chance to be in
Yeah, because if she could have been in it, I could have been in it.
You could have been in it.
2006.
So that's what?
She was 21.
9 years ago.
You could have been in it.
I could have been in High School Musical.
Against Zac Efron.
Yeah. I think me and Zach would have bounced off each other real well. You know?
That's like at the end of Neighbors.
Yeah.
Where Zac Efron.
Yeah, you're more Seth Rogen than Zac Efron.
I can see that. But I'm more apparently Ashley Tisdale's age. So that's
you're
exciting.
Much more Ashley Tisdale than Seth Rogen. I will say that.
Age wise?
You breathe Tisdale. Oh, yeah. I love it.
I'll have to give her a ring.
See what's up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we can go to like talk about our arthritis and
I'm
things.
Trying to think what other.
You can go to like 30 plus things.
30 plus? There are 30 plus things?
I'm making a joke. There aren't.
Yachts? Yacht sales?
I don't think there are any yachts.
Go buy a yacht.
Trying to think what other old TV shows they should bring back as musicals. I think this is a great idea.
Full House. That's an easy one. Hands down.
Yeah, that could work.
Runner up, Family Matters. Done. What else you got?
Just thinking Family Matters.
Just all the TGIF.
Yeah.
There was a Saved by the Bell musical off Broadway, I believe. And Screech was in it for a brief amount of time. The actual Screech, Dustin Diamond. Well,
of course he was.
Before he got arrested.
In prison. Stabbed the guy.
Stabbed the man. He's kind of like DJ Qualls before DJ Qualls.
You shut up about DJ Qualls. That man is a good actor.
I don't know about
And he doesn't
that.
Stab people in his off time.
No, but wasn't he involved in something? No, I swear he was involved in something. I'm looking this up now.
There's no need to look this up. The man is a saint.
DJ Qualls was involved in a stabbing.
Don't bring up
based on my
prior records. DJ Qualls and Chris Pratt. That's all we talk about in this podcast.
So before we were derailed, so we have Ant-Man and... the other comic movie.
I want you
thing
to say it.
Out. A train wreck. Oh, I know what I'm saying.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Independently, there's the new Woody Allen movie coming out on July 17th that doesn't look that appealing. It's got Emma Stone and.
Ooh, does she play a 16 year old girl? I don't know. I was going to make a Woody Allen joke, but I'm just too tired.
Wow. That's dark. Don't do that. Emma Stone and Joaquin Phoenix are in that. I think Marissa Tomei is in it as well. Mm-hmm. Not Marissa Tomei. Who's the...
Speaking of Marissa Tomei.
Yeah, way to bring that up. I saw that coming. I saw Caitlin's eyes light up as soon as that got brought up.
Go ahead. Derail me again.
Go ahead. Caitlin, go.
They just announced that she's going to be Aunt May.
Yep.
Ant-Man?
Aunt May.
Oh.
Although that would be funnier.
Ant-Man 2.
Yes.
Antier.
The Antier. Yes, it was even, I even photoshopped it myself to take a look at what it would look like. But no, one of my arguments for the last Spider-Man was how, there was this weird sexual tension between Peter and Peter and Aunt May for some reason, which did you guys ever revisit that?
I did not pick up on that.
Watch it again.
The one with Sally Field?
Yeah.
I did not pick up on that.
Oh, I didn't see that.
There's this weird, like, sexual tension between them, and it's odd and it's upsetting.
I did not see that.
He's like hitting on Aunt May.
After his uncle died?
Yeah. He's trying to wiggle his way in.
He doesn't have to. The uncle's gone.
Free rent.
He's already living free rent.
Well, why do you
free
think
other
that
things.
Is? Yeah.
I did not pick up. I'm not going to watch that movie again. Well, because
you will.
No. I can watch a new one in a year. They're remaking it. God
so,
knows why.
So who was in that Woody Allen movie?
Joaquin Phoenix and Emma Stone.
Oh, hey, speaking of Emma Stone.
God damn it.
She was in that movie by Cameron Crowe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And Cameron Crowe is making a TV show for Showtime.
Yes.
Or supposedly not making a TV show for Showtime because it's terrible. So apparently, all right, so here's the wraparound to that. So he made Aloha, which was terrible.
Yes.
Everyone agrees, right? Good?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
There was outrage.
Yes, and everyone hated it, including the company that made it, including Sony. In leaked emails, they admitted that they were not happy with it. And well, they're not happy with it. Nobody is. Everyone hates it except for Cameron Crowe.
No, even he admitted.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Good for him. Mm. Well, then someone who was smart decided, hey, Cameron, you should do a TV show. So he's doing a TV show about roadies. Called Roadies.
That's more up his alley. I buy that. Okay. That's actually kind of cool.
Bring it back to music?
Well, yeah. I mean, music's where he started. Music's where his passion truly is. I mean, I know he is a good filmmaker. Yep. I mean, Jerry Maguire maybe hasn't aged well, but it's still a good movie.
No, I love that movie.
I wouldn't say it hasn't aged well.
Other than the size of the cell phones, I think it's fine.
Some people have soured on it as of late.
Okay. Is it you or your mom?
My mom.
Okay.
I think that's a great idea for him. Is it going to be a documentary or it's going to be like a...
No, it's a series starring Kristen... I should tread lightly here. It was a TV show starring Luke Wilson and Christina Hendricks in the main roles, along with other people. They made a pilot, and now, they have to go recast the role of Christina Hendricks because she's gone now because it was that bad. Now they have to reshoot the whole pilot. So Showtime's kind of pissed. A lot of people are upset. And everyone's basically saying, well, Cameron Crowe has kind of lost his edge now.
But wait, how is it
two scripts in a row?
But how is it his fault?
Because he's writing, directing, and producing it. It's his whole show.
I assume casting. I'm assuming.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So he put the whole show together.
Oh.
And apparently apparently it got a like a grade A thumbs up from the guy from. You stop staring at me. You're staring
just
at
so,
me.
I'm just so
you're waiting
to
for you. You want me to fail?
I'm waiting
at this.
For the validation.
With the guy who did the Lost show.
What?
Yeah, who did Lost?
J.J. Abrams.
J.J. Abrams, that guy. Yeah, he read the script.
The Star Wars guy.
Star Wars guy. He read the script and loved it and said it was like a great script. And
scripts can be good. If you can't translate the screen, then what's the
point?
And
I think that's the problem is that he's maybe took on too much. Maybe Showtime inflated his ego, whatever it was. But Deadline and Gawker both reporting that the show was basically falling apart.
Jeez.
So
has anyone seen it or like no one's actually-
just Showtime in there? And they were like, well, this needs some work. And then Christina Hendricks finally was like, I'm just done with this. I'm leaving.
Interesting.
And now they're claiming they're recasting the part, quote unquote. Mm. So there's a lot of issues going on behind the scenes with that show. But Cameron Crowe just getting into tons of trouble.
I mean, I love that we're just like constantly derailing to other things. Yes. So now we're talking about premium cable shows. Yeah. The new slate from HBO for the first time in a long time is underwhelming.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to be. What? I thought you were going to be like ballers.
No,
it's great.
Is it? How is it? I haven't seen it yet. It was
dumb.
On my weekend
list. It's the sports entourage.
Yeah, it is.
I was hoping it would be that.
That's what
really
it is.
Really excited for
it. You know, it's The Rock trying to sign deals and make crack whip jokes.
Is it just an excuse to have like cameos from like NFL stars?
I haven't seen that many yet. Okay. I mean, I've watched all three, and maybe NFL stars aren't that recognizable. Like it's different. You can't have like Mark Wahlberg make a cameo in the same vein as Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people.
I'm sorry, who?
Marshawn Lynch. Am I saying it wrong? Marshawn? Is it Marshawn?
Ha!
Crap.
Marshawn
Lynch.
Yeah. Now who's the one who mispronounces things?
Me. I'm sorry, Mom.
Yeah.
She wouldn't know that name anyway. Like, you can't see, like, Marshawn Lynch or Victor Cruz and know who those people are right away. Did I say it wrong again?
I don't know if there's Victor Cruz. Is there a Victor Cruz?
Yeah, okay. The Giants.
No, I was just saying, like, yeah, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like, you wouldn't recognize those people if they popped up on screen right away unless they actually say their name. Like, wow, you're Victor Cruz, wide receiver from the Giants. Like, it just doesn't really work that way. So, it looks pretty. It looks fancy. The Brink, I don't know what's going on with The Brink, Jack Black and Tim Robbins show.
I can tell you from the preview. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, I watched the first two and I've kind of had to stop.
So I want to watch it because from the previews, I'm like, oh, I like the cast. I like Tim Robbins. I like Jack Black and the supporting cast. I look like I like them too. I have a lot of like in this. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, watching even the previews, it's kind of like, well, what is this? Like, where is it going? Like, it's kind of, it seems like it's very tongue in cheek. It's not tongue in cheek. It's straight. Like, what kind of comedy
it's
is like it?
It's a satirical take on a foreign embassy and yeah. how they're dealing with it abroad. And yeah. you know, it's shenanigans. It's ridiculous shenanigans that would not work in the real world. And yeah. It's the foreign embassy entourage.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Everything will be compared to entourage.
True Detective is the cop entourage. That's what it is. It's just a giant entourage rebranding.
I don't know if that's true.
It is. And True Detective, I don't even know what's going on with that.
I really don't know.
Wait, are people upset about this? I don't.
I mean, I'll be the first to say I was not the biggest fan of the first season.
Yeah.
It looked great. It was slow. It was slow as could be.
Yeah.
I don't understand how people...
I binged it, so I didn't think
maybe
that.
Maybe that helps that you binge it. And yeah. I didn't like that at the end of the first season, they kind of ditched the supernatural aspect of it. There was like a slight little tinge of maybe there's a little something more going right. on. And they kind of just ditched it at the end.
But that's good. That's good, though, because I haven't seen it, but Caitlin can give more insight than I can. But just hearing that, it makes... Again, you're along for the ride. So if you're like, "Oh, is this where it's going?" It's like, "No, stupid. That's not real."
I don't know. I mean, I like the fact that Game of Thrones throws in their supernatural aspects mm-hmm. and they continue with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's right. understandable. That's Game of Thrones. You walk in expecting that. You walk in expecting mythological.
There's nothing but mythology in the first season of True Detective. That's all they talk about is mythology and all of that. And then they kind of dish
it
at the end.
But it's set in the present day. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so I'm not expecting that.
I'm not walking in expecting it. You watch.
And also the first, like, I specifically remember.
Wait a second. Are you watching True Detective or True Blood? Maybe that explains what's happening here. I don't understand it. No, who is Snooki girl? Why? She's not a detective.
I specifically remember after I had watched the first episode of True Detective, the first season, and being like, whoa.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. And then I just wanted to watch more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But with this season, like, I watched the first episode and I was like,
Yeah.
They also
wasn't very impressive.
They could not have corralled a group of actors that I could care less about.
Yeah,
in this
I don't care about
them. Like,
these
are people that have just, they've washed ashore to season two. I mean, the one redeeming factor maybe is Rachel McAdams. She really hasn't soured on me yet.
I was going to say Rachel McAdams, but I mean, I don't know how I feel about her either anymore.
But I mean, Colin Farrell has kind of fallen off. He's done some odd things. Vince Vaughn has fallen off as well. And I can't stand Taylor Kitchich.
I was going to say before you get off of it, like as far as Rachel McAdams is concerned, I'm actually, as far as like foreign non-American leading ladies in things, I'm actually prefer Rose Byrne now. Like, I think we should replace Rose Byrne with Rachel McAdams.
I don't want to see her on this show. I feel like that would tarnish her a little bit. I don't like the really way this season has gone. I mean, and there's friction between. I'm going to butcher these names because they're very long. The writer, Nick Palazzo, I think is his name. He's written the first season. He's writing the second season.
Right.
And then the season one director, Carrie Fukujama, something, I forgot the name. I'll look it up. He's not back for the second season.
Right.
And apparently they had a huge falling out, the writer and the director. The director won an award, did not thank Nick Palazzo in his speech. Mm-hmm. Apparently in the most recent episode of True Detective, there is a scene with a director who is like a drunk, aloof, like dick. And apparently that's a dig at Fukujama. I'm gonna get the name right. I apologize for messing it up.
No, you're fine. I mean, you know, it's not like you're forgetting the name like I do.
No, but I should give the proper name of him.
All right, we'll wait.
I'll find it. I'll give it to you later. But yeah, I don't know. I watched the first two episodes and then I had to stop. I can't take where it's going. I don't like where it's going.
I don't even understand where it's going.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, I mean, other than you know, True Detective, which people locked in last season. Like, what other shows are there?
That's also what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Fukunaga. I'm sorry. Oh. Fukunaga.
Are you cursing? Are you sneezing?
No, that's the guy's name.
Oh, okay.
Terry Fukunaga. I apologize.
Well, language.
I wonder if this season of True Detective had it started not during TV's off season.
Yeah.
That people would.
You mean like start in the fall instead of the summer?
Right. And if people would actually watch it.
Maybe. I don't think it could have helped. I think that this was doomed to begin with. I mean, you had such a highbrow.
What I'm saying is that if it had started like in the fall, even less people would watch it.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Yeah. You're probably right. Maybe the fact that it's in the summer makes it seem like it's not that prestigious as the first season, but that's kind of like killing it before it even got to the screen. I mean,
like, you know, like I liked Newsroom, which kind of fell off a little bit towards the end, but Newsroom was a summer season and premiered, I think, a year ago from now, or a year prior from now. Mm. So it was a summer series. And I mean, I think it's easier for these like prestigious shows to come out in the middle of, you know, the summer when everything else is shut down. But the reality is, like, you know, like I'll go to this old, you know, the old one, like Breaking Bad and stuff like that. Like, there's, what is there anymore? People are really into Game of Thrones. Not my flavor, fine, but like it's there and it just ended.
That's
like,
the only show for me that I could not wait for on a week to week basis.
Yeah.
There's nothing now that I am excited about.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
There's nothing.
There's a real, you know, I think I brought this up before, but you know, someone had brought up to me an actress, won't name because I don't want to name drop, but that, you know, a lot of these big TV shows happened because there was this big writer strike years ago, and then they started moving to television, and now we were in like a golden age of television. But are we on the back end of that?
I don't know. Dustin Hoffman said that film's been the worst it's been in 50 years. That. I mean, so yeah. Then you know, where are we?
Yeah,
we're in Jurassic World territory, and.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's still stuff that gets made. I think it's just where, you know, I think we're moving through demographics, so we're a little bit more open to it, or it's blatant to us. But yeah, there's not a lot of good TV shows anymore either. Like, I think we're just on the tail end of what was a golden age, and then
it's also
it'll flip back now.
I mean, it all costs money, and yeah. Studios want to bank on what they know is going to work.
Right.
They need a bankable star, and they need something that people are already familiar with. Mm-hmm. That's all they want. That's all they care about.
Right.
The people who have the ideas don't have the money to do it.
Yeah.
It's plain and simple.
Well, they always try to copy things. Like, even when Mad Men came out, there was like two series, like one on ABC. There was the one about the Pan Am stewardesses. Mm-hmm. Then on NBC, they had the one about the Playboy Mansion.
Playboy Wives. Yep.
And now also on ABC, there's like the Astronaut Wives.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Which
it just shocks me that they try to do this every year. They try to replicate the Desperate Housewives. They want to replicate something that was lightning in a bottle. Yeah. It's one thing.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they can't get off it. Why not try?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I think I've said this before. It's like sometimes if you look at how some TV shows are made, it's like, wow, this is really easy to get a TV show on the air. If you look at the way what Desperate Housewives went through to get on the air. That guy was like broke.
Yeah.
Mark Cherry was broke. He was living with his mom.
Yeah.
Like no one would listen to him. He went through every studio. It took like finally like a few people to stand up for him and fight with ABC and be like, look, you guys have to put this on the air. And then even then they got shot down. Went through like three other people. And then finally someone out of desperation was like, look, we got nothing left. Let's just throw this on. Yeah, and they threw it on. They fought with him over like the title of the show.
I just got that. I was like 2 seconds late to that. That's why I laughed late. I was like,
But that show went through hell to get on the air. So it had Lost.
Yeah.
And then look what it came out to be. ABC is not a great haven for budding but TV look, shows
but
like
they,
that.
But publicly they look good. They look fine. Because when they stuff made it to does ABC break, yeah. And they got good.
When stuff breaks through, it is.
Yeah.
But like NBC used to be the ground for, you know, we can give NBC a lot of crap for the stuff they put out. Because there's a lot of Joeys out there.
Yes.
But
I like the new format that they do now, though. Like making hour-long, 24-episode seasons, that's difficult. It's a hard thing to do. Like that was the downfall of Lost. If Lost was done on 12-episode seasons, it would have been close to a masterpiece.
Yeah.
But you need to fill time.
Yeah.
You need the procedural aspect of it. How can you fill 24 hours of a show? Mm-hmm. Or 43 minutes an episode, whatever it is.
Well, I mean, look, 24 did that. You know, on Fox. Fox is a little bit more open to like stuff like that.
But 24, that's the genius of 24. They knew they had the episodes to bottle in what was going to be 24. Lost didn't have that. Desperate Housewives didn't have it.
Yeah.
They have to keep the story going until they finally decide to like end it. Then they're shit. How do I end it?
Yeah.
And they mess it up. Dexter, Lost. That's just what happens.
There's this weird doldrums that the shows go through. And Desperate Housewives did the same thing where they have, you know, you have a first season where you kind of find your footing. Usually those shows, and what helped Desperate Housewives is it put its best foot forward. That pilot had been worked on for like 7 years. So by the time it got on the air, it was this polished, over-polished product that people were like, oh my God, this is a great show. They got hooked immediately. And then it wrote its first season. And the second season, people were like, ugh, it's losing its luster now. And then they had a kind of rebound from that. But, seeing that we talked about Seinfeld a couple of weeks ago, you know, that had a terrible beginning. Like if you watch those episodes now, they don't hold up. And B, even back then, the humor was like, it wasn't that polished.
Yeah.
But it took time for it to find its footing, which NBC used to allow for. Now they have no patience for that.
Right. And I forgot who said it, but someone's like, listen, you're never going to know what it's going to look like from paper to screen.
Right.
It's going to be different. Depends who you cast, depends who's directing, who's producing.
Yeah.
It all depends. It's all dumb luck.
Yeah.
A lot of it's dumb luck.
You know, talking about Seinfeld, a lot of the bits that happened on Seinfeld that were like memorable episodes, like stuff about there was an episode where I think Jerry or George or someone gets a stool for a security guard in a store.
Yeah.
They were talking about. That was a sketch originally Larry David wrote for SNL. And they were like, oh, this isn't funny. Like it didn't fit there. Like from paper to screen, like they read it through the read through, didn't really work. He held it in his bank. And then when they made Seinfeld, he made that into an episode. So yeah, absolutely. There's like the different places, but I think the hardest thing right now is how do you look? We just talked about Cameron Crowe on Showtime. That on paper sounds like a great idea. It's a travesty right now. Where do you get this stuff anymore? Like David Chase did his stuff at HBO. The guy who made Mad Men.
John Wells.
No.
Not John Wells. It wasn't John Wells.
No. Who made Mad Men? Anybody?
I thought it was John Wells.
No, John Wells is the guy who made ER and
Matthew Weiner. Weiner, sorry. Apologies.
You know,
apologies.
Matt Weiner. I was on a roll too. I had to get on. Matt Weiner, like, you know, he worked on Sopranos and then got turned down by HBO, picked up by AMC. So it's if you're someone who has this great screenplay right now for a TV show, the next Breaking Bad, the next big thing. Where do you go with it?
Well, see, like, here, so we've spent the past maybe 15 minutes kind of shitting on the TV. The positive side of it is this whole online birthing of TV, the Amazon, Hulu, Netflix. We wouldn't get Transparent. We wouldn't get Bloodline, which is an awesome drama on Netflix with Kyle Chandler and Ben Mendelsohn, who's one of the best actors out there who's so underutilized. Yeah. There are more options now to go to that's not the juggernauts who demand the Desperate Housewives. Mm-hmm. You know, we get cool, innovative things now.
Yeah.
And I think that it's going to continue to trend because people like that.
Yeah.
And I like the way that it's going right now.
Yeah. I think you just locked it too. I think you answered my question without knowing you were answering my question.
This is going a bit off topic here, but did you guys read that in Chicago, people who have Netflix are being taxed?
Yes. 9%.
Yeah.
What do you mean, taxed on what?
So there's a new cloud tax that was passed in Chicago. So anything that has to do with the cloud, anything like a service that has to do with like storage or services you're pulling from the quote unquote cloud. So like from a computer source, and it's a really vague tax law. I don't know how this is going to work.
But it's not your cloud. You're taking it from Netflix's cloud.
Right. But now because you're doing that, it's 9% tax. So if it's $10 a month and you're paying.
So you pay an extra dollar.
Yeah.
To tax.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chicago.
But I don't really understand that. I mean, there's the bandwidth is not on the state of Chicago.
Yeah, it's literally the most shoehorned tax law I've ever heard. Because if, you know, there's all these issues with like, you know, broadband in the right places and, you know, speeds of internet and net neutrality.
Right.
Which if they were actually regulating, if they were doing something about it, if the city of Chicago was turning around to Time Warner or Comcast or whoever's in the town and saying, hey, you guys really have to beef up your internet and like make sure you're providing a great service. Fine. Justify the 9% tax. But it's literally just an extra way of like, how do we make more money? Well, we can already charge them sales tax, cloud tax. Like it just like someone thought of it.
That's insane. I've never I did not hear about this.
It passed this week. Yeah.
Wow. Yep.
That's not good.
Yeah.
No.
But connecting it all together. Yeah. I mean, Netflix is kind of the place for this. Netflix is definitely the place for where these shows can go.
And look how long that took. You know, House of Cards was fought the whole way. People were crapping on it. They're like, this is going to be horrible. Netflix, the one that wanted to be Quickster and like deviate to a different company, like the ones that are just giving DVDs are going to start making their own movies. That's, you know, it's a big old fuck you to the industry, and it's great.
Yeah,
it's a great thing.
Well, for artists, it is. And I think Netflix, you know, we've talked about this before, where they can kind of see where shows are headed. The thing is, like, you know, I was a huge Community fan, right? Love Community. I have never seen an episode that was on Hulu or Yahoo.
Mm.
I've never watched it. It's not easy. It's not right in front of my face. I can't get it on my TV screen easily.
Right.
It's not accessible. as everything else is with Netflix. That's their own stupidity. But I, the other stupidity with it, too, is if Sony had let Netflix have the old episodes of Community, they would have saw their stats and been like, OK, wow, this is a viable show. Yeah, sure. We'll pick it up instead of Yahoo picking it up.
Right. Is Yahoo playing the old episodes as well? Like, can I access old Community on Yahoo?
I think last I checked, Hulu was playing the old episodes from NBC.
See, and that's where you get lost. Yeah, that's where you get confused. Weird. The fact that you have to watch the old ones on Hulu, but the new ones on Yahoo, on Amazon. Like, it just, that's the hard thing.
Which, thank God, that show is finally done. Like, we're
Community?
Yeah, we're finally.
There's a movie coming.
I know. We made the sixth season. It's like, stop, you're shoehorning it. You're just,
they have to do it
I
now.
Know at this point they have to do it. But the thing is, if they went to Netflix, you think Netflix would have let them do it? Yeah, they would have.
Yeah.
You think Yahoo is going to be like, oh yeah, sure, let's just finance a movie now. No, it's Yahoo. Hmm. When's the last time you used Yahoo?
It's been a while.
Exactly.
My mom.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Has a Yahoo email.
Yeah. Nice.
It's like when you hear those stats about, like, you know, 13 million people still use AOL dial-up. It's like, who are these people? Who are all these people? But yeah, so that was a really long rant. But
I think we ended on a positive note.
Well, speaking of Netflix.
Yeah, TV.
We're not over yet, people. One more thing to tackle.
The club? My club?
Yes, go ahead.
The Netflix, to play the theme song.
There is no theme song.
Play it.
We don't have a theme song.
I've got to get a theme song.
The Netflix movie club. Okay, yeah. So go ahead. What was the movie?
Well, as acting and will be future president for all times of the Netflix movie
that's
club.
That's true.
I just want to say. It's
Are you going to apologize? Because.
No, I will not apologize. I will not apologize. First of all,
for your pick,
Caitlin, did you watch this movie? We assigned it to you via on air, but I don't think you listened.
I didn't know this.
We gave you a homework assignment.
You don't, when you're not on the podcast, you don't listen to it?
I didn't listen.
What?
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna turn your microphone
One
off.
One less play.
It's all right. You missed a not so good movie.
Yeah, you missed a terrible movie.
Suggested for the Netflix movie. Simply because it was on the screen when I was looking at
Netflix.
I watched
Grandma's Boy.
We already talked about that. Too late.
Moved on.
Yeah.
But this movie, The Cobbler, starring the award-winning Adam Sandler, and he is award-winning. He's won many awards, mainly Razzies. he did a movie by Thomas McCarthy, who has done a bunch of really good movies. Win-Win with Paul Giamatti, The Station Agent with Peter Dinklage and Bobby Cannavale. This one was a misstep.
How is that? Is that a pun on shoes?
No, it wasn't, but it works.
So can I take Caitlin?
The shoe didn't fit.
Okay, can I take Caitlin through it?
Yeah, take her through
it. Okay.
Go ahead.
So, there's a whole backstory of, you know, Adam Sandler's in a Jewish family, and they are cobblers. You know what a cobbler is?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't.
Shoemaker.
So I was like, where are all the pies in this movie?
He did. He made that joke like twice.
Yeah. Okay.
did you watch it together?
No, but he made the joke while he was watching it. He texted it.
So he makes shoes. His dad is gone. He walked out on him and his mom. His mom has dementia. Long story short is he discovers in the basement of the shop that his father left him, where they make the shoes or fix the shoes, there's a special machine that if you use it, you get to and you put the shoes on, you become the person. Now, to be clear, the person whose shoes it belongs to.
Oh.
Somehow the magic knows about ownership and things. Like, I don't know what would happen if two people owned the same pair of shoes and split it. Like Maxwell, if we went in halvesies on a pair of Nikes.
Which, no, but I don't know. Who does that?
Who does that?
You're bringing, like, weird causalities to this stuff that doesn't apply.
Oh, you're saying the universe has this all figured out? The universe can
figure
out.
In the cobbler, it does, yeah.
Oh, fine. Anyway, so he puts the shoes on, and he looks like the person. He doesn't replace the person in the universe. He just looks like the person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like having basically he has the superpower to, as long as he can get the person's shoes, to then look like them.
Okay. And then shenanigans.
Yes, and then shenanigans. Okay. So he uses it, you know, for all the reasons people would use it. Of course, sex, tries to do that, and then realizes you can't have sex with shoes on, apparently, or something. I don't know. But they quickly dive out of that one.
You can't.
Yeah, and then he tries to steal money, and he somehow gets into a fight with Method Man somewhere, and then almost...
who's the best actor in the movie?
Method Man is the best actor in the movie. But everything is so... It's
a little bland.
It was like it was written in a screenplay class. It really was.
There were no emotional stakes. You didn't really care about what happened to the characters.
Yeah.
When was it made?
Like 2 years ago, I think.
They literally.
Really?
Yeah. Method Man's character is supposed to be the bad guy, quote unquote, which at first you're really not sure about. You're not sure if they're just painting this like, oh, he's a big, you know, burly black guy who walks into the cobbler shop and he's throwing money around. Maybe he's a nice guy. No, he's not a nice guy. And then at one point, Adam Sandler, as dressed up like Method Man, literally turns off to the side, talking to himself and says, wow, he really is a bad guy. It's like, oh, okay. Thanks for letting us know, Adam Sandler / Method Man. I didn't know that.
But this goes back to our earlier thing, how saying stuff on paper might not translate on screen. Yeah. When you explain this to me in person, like on screen, not on screen, on paper, sorry, that you have Thomas McCarthy, who's a great director, does like good lighthearted comedies, but has drama to him. You have Dustin Hoffman, Steve Buscemi, and Adam Sandler, who can do drama. He's done it before. Mm-hmm. He did it in Punch Drunk Love, which is a fantastic
movie. Yeah, I love that movie.
And I think if you have the right director, you can draw a good performance out of anyone, especially Adam Sandler.
That was actually Paul Thomas Anderson's goal with that. That's why he picked
him. And he succeeded. And Thomas McCarthy has done that before. He's a great director. This just did not work out the way anyone had intended.
And but I think some of that also has to do with whatever was on paper, because it twists and turns so many times, but not in like a fun, we were along for the fun dramatic ride. It twists and turns in a way where it's like, wait, I thought the movie was over. Oh, wait, we're going into this now?
Yeah, there were where's the ending?
It was literally like three. It was basically a 3-episode miniseries built into it as a movie. That's what it was. It was, yeah.
So I made a mistake.
Yeah, I'm glad that I missed it.
A rare misstep.
No, I think it's needed. I think we need to like see a crappy movie every once in a while, and it'd come up on Netflix. And sure.
All right. So I'm gonna cleanse the palate.
Okay.
I have a new pick, one that is guaranteed to please.
Well, before you say it, let me just point this out. So you picked. We had Wet Hot American Summer.
Classic.
Grandma's Boy.
Classic.
On a roll with the comedies. Nice cult classic comedies.
Yep.
You picked The Cobbler, which is like a newer, supposed to be like a comedy drama-esque thing. Mm-hmm. Slight misstep. Mm-hmm. So based on the track record, you're rebounding with?
I'm going to rebound with a movie that is both cheesy, action-packed, and contractually obligated for certain actors.
Joe's Apartment.
The Italian Job.
Ooh, wait, which one?
Edward Norton was under a 3-movie contract, and he made this one to get out of it.
To get out of it?
Yeah, he didn't want to be in it anymore, so he made this one. Which is classic. He's really good in it.
Who's some of the supporting cast in this?
Everyone's in this one. Jason Statham, Seth Green, Charlize Theron.
Who's the tech guy?
Seth Green.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm in for any movie where, like, you know, someone's like, it flicks a button and goes click, click, and then like switches the traffic lights. That's
it. Yeah. They're like, hey, can you do this one thing? He's like, yeah, I got this. And he does like a
done.
It's done. Donald Sutherland's in it.
Yeah.
It's a good cast.
It really is.
Good cast. They've been trying to make a sequel for like 20 years. It's not happening. They were going to call it The Brazilian Job.
Ew.
And it apparently is not taking off.
Don't do that.
But yeah, that is my
a bad title.
Presidential pick as president.
I just got what Caitlin said. What was the potential sequel's name?
Brazilian Job. Oh, because of the.
It's like waxing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm wheezing on mic.
Classic.
All right.
That's the pick. My presidential president as president of the club.
I like a good heist movie. I like a good heist movie. I'm actually pretty disappointed that the Ocean's 11 movies aren't on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
I watched that. That's about time I watched that movie again. It's a good movie.
Can I tell you, I went to Vegas for the first time a couple weeks ago. And as I landed, I got to my hotel. I'm like, all right, I got a couple hours to kill. Hey, I want to watch Ocean's 11. Like, I just wanted to watch it because I was like in town.
Please tell me you watched it.
No, I didn't, because I couldn't find it anywhere. It was nowhere to be found.
No.
It's like George Clooney put a lock on that in a lock box.
Put a ring on it.
Yeah. I was going to go to all the locations and take pictures and be like, hey, look, I'm at the Bellagio. Oh, I'm going to rob it, you know?
So, yeah. Italian Job.
All right.
That's my pick.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
If the Ocean's 11 ever comes up, can that be one of the picks?
We'll talk about it.
Right,
awesome. I mean, this is not a democracy. You don't get votes.
Yeah, it's not.
I prefer Ocean's 12, actually. I like the second one.
Okay, well, either way, you don't get a pick.
Character established.
I do, as president of the Netflix Movie Club. Netflix Movie Club.
We're going to overthrow you.
You can't. It can't be done.
You know, now that I think about it, I like anything with Elliot Gould, really. He's a good actor.
He is, but apparently he's hard to work with. People have been saying he's a notorious...
Oh yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I've been reading, which would give you guys insight into where I'm coming up with some of my amazing facts. I've been reading the Saturday Night Live book, Live
the
from New York.
Amazing facts that you can't remember.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That guy and that thing.
Well, I had that Larry David fact. I've been reading Live from New York, and he comes up in a lot in it because he hosted a lot in the 70s, and he got along with them really well. He's getting high the whole time, but
damn right,
that's why he got along with them. It's a good time for SNL. Mm. All right, you want to do the wrap
Netflix
up?
Netflix Movie Club.
No, we already did that.
I
didn't want you to sing this song.
Sandwich.
Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast at thisispopcenter.com or on your iTunes or favorite podcasting apps with the things. At Gotham Tommy on Twitter and Instagrams and all the other socials.
Do it for us. Do it for me.
I'm at Kate Press.
Yeah.
Don't take his side. It makes me look bad.
This is you're being overthrown.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning.
I'm at Alt Maxwell.
Okay.
I did it.
On what? You didn't say. You didn't
Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, MySpace, Angie's List.
That was a good one.
I'm on all.
Oh,
this.
No. Can I tell you what's going to happen now? Now that we've praised you for that joke,
I'm going to do it all the time. You can reach for Angie's List.
Can I tell you that how many times I've been on the escalator with him and someone's going the opposite way and he goes, "You like escalators? I like escalators too." And I thought it was the greatest joke, but then he's done it 3 or 4 more times since. And I'm like, I thought it was so original the first time.
It's so funny every time. Love it.
All right. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.